Krishna, Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare 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 Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Jaya Girivara Dhare Jaya Girivara Dhare Jaya Bijanavallabha Jaya Girivaram Dhare Jaya Girivara Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Jaya Girivaradhare Jaya Girivaradhare Gopi Janavallabha Jaya Girivaradhare Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Yashodhanandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Yashodhanandana Jaya Braja Jaya Yashodhanandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Yashodhanandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Kunja Vihare Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari, 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 Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Jai Nithai Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. Chapter 1, the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Text 28 to 29. Kitaha peshashkrita ruddha kudyayam tam anusmaran Samramba bhaya yogena vindate tat swarupatam Evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manuja Ishvare Varena Puta Papmanas Tam Apur Anuchintaya Kitaha Pesha Krita, sorry, Kitaha Pesha Shkrita Rudha Kudyayam Tam Anusmaran Samrambhavaya Yogena Vindate Tat Svarupatam Evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manuja Ishvare Vairena Puta Papmanas Tam Apur Anuchintaya Kitaha Peshashkrita Ruddha Kudyayam Tam Anusmaran Samrambhavaya Yogena Vindate Tat Svarupatam Evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manuja Ishvare Varena Puta Papmanas Tam Apur Anuchintaya Vaishnavis, oh sorry, go on. Evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manuja Ishvare Varena Puta Papmanas Tamapur Anuchintaya Vaishnavis. Ita Prekshita Rudha Kudyayam tamanusmaran Sambrahma baya yogena Indate tat svarupatam Evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manuja Ishvare Vairena Puta Papmanas Tamapur Anuchintaya. Anyone else? No? Word for word, please repeat. Kitaha. The grass worm. Pesha Krita. By a bee. Rudha. Confined. Kudyayam. In a hole, in a wall. Tam. That. B. Anusmaran. Thinking of. Sam Brahma Bhaya Yogena. Through intense fear and enmity. Vindate. attains tat of that be svarupatam, the same form, evam, thus, Krishne, in Krishna, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Maya Manuje, who appeared by his own energy in his eternal human-like form, Ishvare, the Supreme, Vairena, by enmity, Puta Papmanaha, those purified of sins, Tam, him, Apuhu, attained, Anuchintaya, by thinking of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or other think of Krishna, who is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins, whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:10, the Lord says, Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mama upashritaha bhavo jnana tapasa bhuta madbhavam agata. Quote, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. And thus they all attained transcendental love for me. End quote. There are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna. As a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya, becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and also becomes purified. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, where the Lord says, Apichetsu duracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he engages in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. End quote. A devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy, sudurachāraha, always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. The example given here concerns the grass worm that becomes bee-like because of constantly thinking of the bee that forces it to enter a hole. By always thinking of the bee in fear, the grass worm starts to become a bee. This is a practical example. Lord Krishna appears within this material world for two purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. The sadhus and devotees certainly think of the Lord always. But dushkritis, the demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, also think of Krishna in terms of killing him. By thinking of Krishna, both the demons and devotees attain liberation from the clutches of material maya. This verse uses the word maya manuje. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in his original spiritual potency, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya, he is not forced to accept a form made by material nature. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the controller of Maya. He is not controlled by Maya. When a demon continuously thinks of Krishna because of enmity toward him, he is certainly freed from the sinful reactions of his life. Excuse me. To think of Krishna in any way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to him, is beneficial for everyone. Shrinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna will make one pure. And then he will become a devotee. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to introduce the system of somehow or other letting everyone hear the holy name of Krishna and take Krishna's prasad. Thus one will gradually become a devotee and his life will be successful.
Om Jnana Atimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So I'm here somehow. I didn't plan for it, but it was planned for me to be here. So I somehow misread the roster or didn't register in my mind. I thought I was giving class next Saturday. So we'll see what we can do. So this is a very nice verse in the 7th canto. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. And here the importance of remembrance is being stated. The importance of remembering Krishna. And the benefits of remembering Krishna are also stated. In any way, shape, or form, you remember Krishna, whether inimically or favorably, one is benefited. And that is the entire process of Krishna consciousness, is to remember Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj, in this canto, in the 9 processes of devotional service, he states, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So, right, Vishnu Smaranam. So remembrance is very important. We are always remembering something at every point of time. In point of time, we are thinking of something. It is not possible that you're not thinking. You might be doing something, but if you pause or you go about your day, you're always, there is Smaranam going on. Because that is the nature of the mind. The nature of the mind is to think, feel and will. That is the natural tendency of the mind. So we're always doing that, and we are accompanied by the mind. The spirit soul is covered by the 5 elements, the mind, intelligence and the ahankar. And the mind is the chief driver, driving us in the material world. We have surrendered our independence to the mind. And wherever the mind thinks, feels and wills, then the senses, they follow in that direction. And we are helplessly dragged in that way through material nature by becoming a servant of the mind. So Krishna also speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, right, in the 6th chapter. He says, the mind can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. So I was like, I was reading some statistics yesterday. They came up. And in Australia, the suicide rate is so high. It's like, and the mental illness is so high. 1 in 3 persons experience some form of mental illness. And of those who commit suicide, 75% are men. So we can see how the mind is causing so much trouble, so much grief and anxiety, that one is unfortunately prepared to take their life. So we can see how the mind can be one's worst enemy. So we think that it is he or she who is the enemy. He said that, she said that, he rejected me, she rejected me. No, it's your own mind which is causing you so much grief. So the mind can be one's worst enemy, and one has to learn to control the mind. That is the process of yoga. So in the process of yoga, one has to learn to control the mind and the senses. Because if one can't control one's mind and senses, there's that analogy given in the Bhagavad Gita, right? You open the book and there's that beautiful artwork where there's the chariot being pulled by 5 horses, And each of those horses represent the five senses, one of the senses. So they all are going in different directions, and the passenger is not having a pleasant ride. It's like you're sitting in a car, and the car is out of control. The 1 second, the driver turns left, then right, and then he brakes and then accelerates. So you'll be very disturbed as a passenger sitting in the back or the front. Sometimes in India it's like that. If you have lived in overseas for a while, and then you go there and it's like, oh my God, you know, what's happening? You look at the traffic. So it's like that. We are being sitting in the body. Our mind is dragging us, and then there's no peace. That's why people are not peaceful and happy. In Kali Yuga, everyone is disturbed. Manda sumanda mataya, right? Manda bhagya hi upadritaha. So it is said in the Iron Age of Kali, the men are always disturbed. They have short lives and they're always disturbed. So people are, there's so much disturbance. Because the mind is uncontrolled. and the mind is thinking of subjects of sense gratification. That's why the mind is disturbed. So when we think of matter, when we think of material enjoyment, independent of Krishna, how I can make myself happy by various material arrangements, solely through a career, or just through relationships, or through sports, or frivolous activities, drinking, sex life. If one is just thinking of these things, then the result of that is one's mind is agitated. And then there's no peace. So Krishna says there cannot be any peace for someone who has not controlled their mind and reached the level of super soul. So that peace is, shanti is not possible. People think through material arrangements, I can make peace. I will do my job, I will have a career, then I'll have a nice family, a nice house, nice material arrangements, and then there will be peace. But that is not possible. The nature of this world is, you're living in a place of calamities. The material world by nature, Krishna says, is temporary, and it is a place of misery. And Queen Kunti, she also says, I mean, she prays for calamities. Queen Kunti is saying, bring the calamities on me. That is very exceptional as a devotee, because we are trying to avoid calamities. And everyone has to go through calamities. It's not that you have become a devotee and then there'll be no calamity for you. No, it doesn't work that way. Everyone, at some point in their life, will face a tragedy, once or multiple, most probably multiple. But for a devotee, the calamity and tragedy is a way to intensify their remembrance of Krishna. Right, because you have to think of something. That is the nature of the mind, as we are speaking. So vita raga bhaya krodha, right? So raga bhaya krodha, attachment, fear, and anger. So we are influenced in material consciousness through attachment, fear, and anger. So when you're attached to something, whether it's your phone or your work or some position, you know, you're aspiring for some position, this strong attachment, or if you get something and then you lose it, then you're always in a state of fear of losing something valuable, right? That's why people guard their money very carefully, various structures they'll create. And then, when our desires are not fulfilled, because karma cannot be fulfilled, right? So karma leads to krodha. The third chapter Krishna explains. Karma leads to krodha. So when our desires are not fulfilled, there is anger. And like we see this war in Russia, Ukraine, that is a manifestation of krodha as a result of karma that hasn't been, lust and greed that hasn't been fulfilled, that has led to an explosion of anger and there is destruction everywhere. So we see this is the consequence of material smaranam, because it all starts from contemplation on the objects of the senses. That leads to intense absorption, then one gets attached. When we get attached, you might get what you want, or you might not get it, even worse. It's like you meditate on someone, and then you become attached, and maybe they reject you. And it's like, oh, that really hurts. But that is a result of your attachment. And then you become angry upon yourself or on the other person or people around them. And then we start blaming everyone. But that is our own doing in the material world. But we have to transfer this remembrance to Krishna. That is the goal of bhakti, right? So the goal of bhakti is to transfer the object of remembrance to Krishna. Because in mundane consciousness, we are thinking of everything but Krishna to make us happy. But if we transfer the object of meditation to Krishna, then that leads to peace, and that leads to purification and happiness. So the entire process of Krishna consciousness is to train the mind to think of Krishna. That's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. And if one can do that, then one's life is successful. So that's why there's the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti to bring one to the platform of constantly thinking of Krishna. So in the platform of perfection, we see that the devotees are always thinking of Krishna. So right, there's that regulation. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, right? So that's it, right? Yeah. So that's the goal of Krishna consciousness, to always think of Krishna and never to forget Him. So in other words, 24-hour smaranam, 24 hours a day, non-stop. That might sound very scary, but it is quite nice if one can get there. And the gopis were constantly thinking of Krishna. Right? So the gopis are always thinking of Krishna's pleasure. Even at the cost of their own comforts, or even at the cost of their own pleasures and inconveniences, right? They did not think of society, family, or love, right? They were always thinking of pleasing Krishna. So on the pure devotional service platform, one is constantly thinking how to serve Krishna, how to please Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is not an impersonal process where one sits in front of a candle or you just sit like this and you're breathing in and out and you're trying to kill your thoughts. So that is very popular with most people. Most people's conception of spirituality is just to kill your emotions and to make the mind silent and not to think of anything and just maybe focus on your breath. But that's a futile process. How long can you do that? Even Arjun says, this is very hard. He tells Krishna in the sixth chapter, the process of Ashtanga Yoga you're describing to me is very difficult for me. It's easier for me to control the wind than to control the mind by this process. But the process of bhakti yoga is very simple. Is very simple. It is the process of Harinam Sankirtan, right? It's the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So it is the process of engaging your senses in Krishna's service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate, right? So Krishna is the master of the senses, is Rishikesh. So we need to, because everything belongs to Krishna, we have to engage everything in Krishna's senses, including our own body, mind, and words. So we are engaging a body in various material pursuits, and mind in philosophy, poetry, or different things, arts, but independent of Krishna. And words, people are just talking prajalpa, like a frog. You go to a creek, you hear frogs there. They're croaking. But then they invite the tiger snake. So I was in the bush, I think, a month ago. I just went to in nature, and was a forest, was a logging road, and then I turned the car down. There was a road going down, and I stepped out of the car, and I could hear some frogs, and I heard some movement, and I looked down. There was a tiger snake, maybe just a meter away from me, and I froze, and then he went away. Slowly. So we can see that the frog is croaking and he has attracted the tiger snake ready to pounce on him. So in the same, people are talking prajalpa, right? People are talking nonsense all the day, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, TikTok. It's whatever you watch is prajalpa. The news, you go to the bars and the clubs and you hear so much chatter, and that's just... It's like you can visualize frogs are croaking. the frogs are croaking. And then the snake, the snake of time is devouring their body. Right? The snake of time is cutting the duration of their life. And then jara, old age comes. And then there's death. In this way, life passes so quickly. So people are absorbed in work, in all mundane affairs, independent of Krishna. If these things are done, keeping Krishna in the center, then it's actually quite nice. So people are just absorbed in work, spending the time with family, the weekends with family, you know, kids swimming, this, that, basketball. Again, independent of Krishna is a problem, but if you have kids, then you certainly have to do these things but keeping Krishna in the center, so don't take it the other way. And then just catching up with friends and family. In this way, the whole life just passes. And then the time of death comes. And at the time of death, what are they thinking of? You go to a hospice or palliative care. And I've seen they're just thinking of their family. They say, bring my son, bring my immediate family. And they're just thinking of their family, and they die thinking of whatever they've done throughout their whole life, right? Krishna says in the 8th chapter in the Gita, Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam, what's that verse? Tirante Ante Kalevaram. Third line, Tam Tam Vaiti Kaunteya Saratad Bhava Bhavita. Yeah. So whatever you think of at the time of death, that's the state you're going to attain. These are the laws of nature. This is how the material world functions. Whatever you think of at the time of death, you're going to get a certain type of body in the next life. So if we spend a whole life thinking, absorbed in family, love, and society, and engaging in sinful activities, eating meat, illicit sex, drinking, and God knows what not, then it's good luck to you in your next life. unless you have had the mercy of devotees. You have heard the holy name or had some prasadam, somehow had some good fortune, agyata sukriti, then there's some hope. Otherwise, it's like good luck. Only Krishna knows and Yamaraj knows where you're going to end up. So it is very unfortunate for someone in that situation. It is great misfortune. So we have to think of Krishna. If we think of Krishna, then one can go back to Godhead. Right? The example of Bharat Maharaj is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bharat Maharaj, he was a great king. He renounced his kingdom. He went to the forest to perform meditation and meditate on Krishna. But somehow he got distracted by a deer. Right? There was a deer trying to cross the river, female deer, and she had a baby, and somehow the mother died, and the little deer, he saved the little deer. Can't remember the story exactly. So, because that deer was fully, had no other shelter, he gave the deer shelter. And in giving that little deer shelter, he became attached because he was effectively parenting that deer. So he became attached. So much so that he was thinking of the deer all the time. When sitting, standing, or whatever he was doing, he was thinking of the deer. It's like, you know, when people have pets, they always think of their pets. It becomes intense absorption in the pet. What is my cat doing right now? Or what is my dog doing? Right now the dog must be doing this, thinking at work. So that leads to intense absorption, smaranam in the pet. Who knows, they might become a pet in the next life. And that's what happened to Bharat Maharaj. At the time of death, he was thinking of the deer. And in his next life, he became a deer. But because he was a devotee, he could remember his previous life. So that did not go away. And then he hung around the ashrams of the great sages, and in that way he was able to associate with devotees. So we see smaranam is very powerful. What you think of at the time of death is what you end up becoming. Right? So one can think of Krishna favorably, or one can think of Krishna unfavorably. There's two ways of thinking of Krishna. So one has to bring one's thoughts upon Krishna. So the entire life of a devotee or a bhakti yogi is to bring us to the point of thinking of Krishna. So we need to organize and arrange our life in such a way that it leads to remembrance of Krishna. That's why we chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles so you don't become an animal, and you can think of, if you don't follow the four regs, then it's very hard to think of Krishna. And then we do that, we follow the various other rules and regulations of bhakti, and that's why there's the four ashrams also there. The four ashrams are there to brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyasi to help one to be rightly situated so they can think of Krishna. That's the whole idea behind the ashrams, is to help you, is to help your mind be settled so you can think of Krishna. If one is incorrectly situated, then it's very difficult to think of Krishna. They're thinking of the opposite sex, or they're thinking of various other things. So we see, like, one has to be rightly situated, and one has to be honest with oneself where one is at. So quite often devotees get hung up, especially those in the renounced ashrams. They've done that for a while, they get hung up that I can do this when they really can't. Because the renounced ashrams, brahmachari and sannyas, are actually for very few people, very few devotees. It's only a minority who can do it in the long run. The vast majority will be grihasthas, and there's nothing wrong in that. So one should not be afraid and avoid taking responsibility. So one has to be honest and take responsibility and be rightly situated so one can practice Krishna consciousness peacefully. Otherwise one will not be peaceful in the long run. And we see as a result of that, if one is not peaceful, then in the worst case scenario, they end up doing something really bad. Right? So either they have an affair with a woman, or if in the renounced ashram, and you know, things happen. So that leads to so much shame for themselves and the society, and it's not good for anyone. So one has to be rightly situated, execute the duties of the ashram, and then it becomes easier to think of Krishna. So as I was saying, one can think of Krishna in a favorable way, or one can think of Krishna in an unfavorable way. That's how we are always thinking also, right? Either we think of something favorably, or we think of something out of anger. You know, if you're angry at someone, you're thinking about them. That's also very intense absorption. If someone says something bad about you, or criticizes you, or something negative experience, one's mind just goes there. And maybe that's subtle anger, one is just thinking. It's intense absorption. It's hard to take the mind away. So in the same way, we have to think of Krishna favorably. So Kamsa, the example is given of Kamsa. Kamsa was thinking of Krishna unfavorably. So the prophecy was, the eighth son of Devaki will kill Krishna. Oh, sorry, will kill, apologies, Kamsa. There was Akashvani when Kamsa was driving his sister after her marriage to Vasudev, and then there was the voice from the sky, the eighth son of Devaki will kill you. And it's amazing that 1 minute he's driving his sister after her marriage. This is after her marriage, you know, in front of so many people. He's driving her, and then the next moment he holds her by the hair and is about to kill her. It's shocking behavior. And he's a king. Kamsa is a king. He's not like an ordinary Joe. So he's a king, and such a behavior from a king, a respectable, you know, great prestige, and he's about to kill his own sister. So Vasudeva intelligently convinced him somehow that, okay, I'll give you all the children and you can decide what you want to do. So, but still, he was thinking of Krishna. He was so absorbed, and Narad Muni told him that, you know, any of these kids could be Krishna. The demigods are also here. There's a lot of trickery going on. So he started killing. He killed the six children of Devaki. And when the eighth son was about to appear, he was in constant thinking of Krishna unfavorably. When he was walking, sleeping, in his sleep he was having dreams of Krishna. When he wakes up, he's thinking of Krishna. When he's having his food, he's having a shower, in his affairs of running a kingdom, he's thinking of Krishna. So that was intense absorption. But that absorption was unfavorable, but still he got benefited. And then he, as you know, he fought with Krishna in the wrestling arena, right? He had so many obstacles he put impediments for, you know, he brought Krishna from Mathura, and just to get to the wrestling arena, there were so many impediments. What was the name of that elephant? Kuvalayapid, yeah, thank you. And then there was those fighters, Chanura and Mushtika. Yeah, so after he killed the elephant, then there were fighters, and before that, right, there were so many obstacles. So many demons Kamsa sent to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. But everything failed, and then he was in intense absorption, and he was in fear. Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha. So Kamsa was in fear and anger, and he was thinking of Krishna, but you know, he got benefited. So what, he got liberation? So we can say that even thinking of Krishna unfavorably, and Shishupal, another example of is Shishupal. In the Rajasuya Yajna, Maharaj Yudhishthir arranged this Rajasuya Yajna to glorify Krishna. And in that Rajasuya Yajna, they had to select the object of worship, and everyone, who was it, Sahadev or someone, said that let's worship Krishna, and everyone unanimously agreed except for Shishupal. And then he was so envious and so upset, and Shishupal started blaspheming Krishna. How many blasphemies here? 100? 100. So 100 times he blasphemed Krishna, and then after that, in order to maintain the sanctity of the yajna and of the arena also, Krishna with the Sudarshan Chakra is chopped off his head, and there was not a single drop of blood fell on the in the yajna to, and the yajna was not contaminated, the arena. So in that way, and Shishupal also got liberation. And what to speak of thinking of Krishna favorably? So the gopis and the gopas and the residents of Vrindavan, they all are thinking of Krishna favorably. And even our goal in life is to think of Krishna favorably, not unfavorably. Sometimes if things don't go to plan, we might think of Krishna unfavorably. You know, if some calamity happens to you or tragedy happens, then you might think, oh, why has Krishna done this to me? I've done so much service, so many years I've chanted, I've distributed books, and I've done this, but now this has happened to me. So then one might think of Krishna unfavorably, out of anger. But our unfavorable thinking of Krishna cannot be as intense as Kamsa. So you most probably won't get liberation thinking of Krishna that way. Why hasn't Krishna done this for me, or I wanted this? Why am I still struggling? So you're probably not going to get liberation, because our absorption is not that intense. But we have to turn that unfavorable, if our absorption is unfavorable, into favorable absorption by rendering service in the association of devotees. So when we render service in the association of devotees, that helps us to render favorable service to Krishna. And by doing service, when one is serving Krishna, one is thinking of Krishna. So thinking of Krishna does not mean, oh, I'll just sit down all day, I'll chant 16 rounds and then sit down and think of Krishna. Okay, if we can do that, great, but it's highly unlikely we can do that. We are not at the point of just sitting down in a forest, sitting down in an ashram and thinking of Krishna. And that's not a process anyway. Even in the spiritual world, they are engaging, the residents of the spiritual world are engaging their senses in Krishna's service, right? So we have these senses, they belong to Krishna, and they have to be engaged in Krishna's service, right? You have your arms and legs, you have some energy, youth, you have intelligence, thinking power, you have abilities, resources, right? Everything belongs to Krishna. He says, I am the Lord and Master of everything. Krishna is the supreme proprietor, is the Ishvara, Ishvara Paramakrishna. So everything including us, whatever we have, actually belongs to God. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Right? Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. So everything animate or inanimate in this world belongs to God. So we think belongs to us, but no, it belongs to God. So everything animate or inanimate, everything tangible, intangible, belongs to Krishna. So it has to be rightfully engaged in God's service. And when we engage it in God's service, there are no reactions. There are no reactions, and then one is acting properly. One has to take what is one's quota, right? Everyone has a certain quota that is given to them. One has to take that, but understand it is actually Krishna giving me that quota. And I have to engage it in Krishna's service intelligently, with intelligence. So you have to think how I can engage my words, my money, my resources, with using your intelligence in what you think is in the best possible way. And when we do that, then our life is perfect. And when we engage in Krishna's service, then you naturally think of Krishna. When you do something, you naturally, you know, think about why you're doing it. You have to think about how you're doing it properly. But you also think why you're doing it. It's like when someone goes to work, why do they go to work? Someone goes to work, so if you have a family, you're thinking how I can provide for my kids and wife, or the other way around, husband and kids, so we can live a happy life. So there is affection, and out of that affection, one goes to work, and one is naturally then thinks of their family and their parents, friends, right? So there is, because you're working, you're thinking. In the same way, when we are working for Krishna, when we are do service for Krishna, then automatically you're thinking about Krishna. So it's not just about, you know, sitting like this om all day thinking I'll chant Hare Krishna. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he strongly advised against that in his teachings. He said one will simply, if one just sits down and to chant Hare Krishna all day, they'll just simply think of women and money. So, and that is not recommended. Sometimes devotees think, I'll just go and sit in the dham and chant Hare Krishna all day. So, or I'll become a baba, you know, go to the dham and associate with babas. But no, that's not our process. We go to the dham to replenish ourselves, to recharge ourselves, to come back, to practice and share Krishna consciousness with the world. Unless your spiritual master asks you to go there and do some specific service. But generally, so we go to such places, and that's why we don't just sit idle all day. We engage our senses, in Krishna's service from morning to night. So in the morning we wake up, chant Hare Krishna, might do some exercise, eat properly, listen to class, come to Ketan. And then during the day that you're going to work or you're doing some service. If you're working, then your work is also to support your Krishna conscious lifestyle, right? So that is service also. To give your family and kids an opportunity and yourself an opportunity to become and remain devotees. And then we have some free time, you take up some service in the temple or some bhakti riksha or some outreach center or Harinam. In that way we engage our senses, and when we do that, we are thinking of Krishna. And then our life is perfect. So any questions or comments? read the verse again. Yeah, it's a good, nice example given here of the grass worm, how it's thinking of the bee. Then it becomes, it turns into a bee in such intense absorption out of fear. It's like, especially when you're being attacked by someone, you can maybe imagine you're in a jungle and a tiger comes in. It's about to eat you, right? So we have to think of Krishna in all circumstances. That's the goal of life. Whether a tiger comes to eat you, or you're in a car accident, or something happens. So these actually material tragedies are a great opportunity to remember Krishna. So as my spiritual master says, in every crisis there is an opportunity for growth. So for a non-devotee or a weak devotee, when a crisis happens, they get depressed, or they think of... it's natural to feel grief and be depressed for some time. But then they just become, they lose hope, and they blame Krishna or the process. And we see that's very common. Even when 9/11 happened, so many people said, how can God do this? 3,000 people died. How can God do this? I'm a practicing Christian. How can this happen? No, but it can happen to you also. You could be a practicing Hare Krishna, and then something happens. So in a calamity, it's a great opportunity to actually go deeper and take shelter of Krishna. And then you'll come out stronger on the other end. So that can also be seen in a favorable light. Any questions? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.